Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You have to take it that with what you do, especially creatively, sometimes you're going to be ahead. You're going to be ahead, right? And you just have to understand. And also you have to understand that when you're ahead and you miss, you dust yourself off and you come again.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Balancing Acts. In this conversation, I talk to the founder of Ferocious Talent, Kwame Kwatan. Perfect. Hi, this is Steve Whiteley, comedian, actor, filmmaker and writer, all-round ADHD creative. And welcome to my new podcast, Balancing Acts, where I talk to an array of creatives ranging from comedians, actors, directors, all sorts. And we talk about how they find a sense of balance or not between their creative lives and their everyday lives and how that has an impact on their mental health and beyond. Balancing Acts is now made in association with The Comedy Crowd, who are a website and community that support independent comedy creators such as myself. I have a Comedy Crowd short, which is a 2-minute video, one of my characters, on their website. They showcase the best new videos on Comedy Crowd TV, which is comedycrowdtv.com, and across media platforms, so do go and check them out. So Kwame is the founder of Ferocious Talent, an artist management company. He has a long and distinguished career in the music industry. He was in the band The Influence in the 90s. They supported the likes of Prince and Michael Jackson on tour. Yes, you heard that right. As a producer, Kwame has produced tracks for the likes of Jay-Z and Mick Jagger. He founded the Ultimate Seminar, which has featured the likes of Kanye West. And we go into detail about that in the podcast. He's given a TED talk on following your intuition. And again, that's something that we cover. I guess this is a slight departure from other guests in terms of, yes, Kwame is very much a creative, which you'll get from the off of this episode. However, he is music focused, although in terms of talent, he's worked with actors and presenters and all sorts. But in terms of, you know, a lot of the aspects and issues that we've discussed in past podcast episodes with other creatives and talents, you know, that's very much on the forefront of this episode as well. Kwame he's been around and he's wise and he's such an uplifting guy. I first met Kwame. He got me my first proper job in the entertainment industry. I may have mentioned the podcast before that I used to work in the music industry before I started the whole comedy shtick. And I got a job at a company called ATC Management, who managed Radiohead and Faithless and loads of other amazing artists and bands. And Kwame was a partner there. And through somebody else, I got recommended to meet with him, and I had an interview about sort of looking after this R&B band score, and we talk about that whole meeting and how sometimes you can work out a person just from their guilty pleasures. But that's something that we cover along with loads of other things. We kick things off talking about Kwame's harrowing experience of getting coronavirus, and he describes what that was like, you know, the whole struggle and getting over it and how it's given him a new appreciation for life. He talks about why he's been so lucky in terms of having an amazing family around him who helped him deal with, I mean, he's, as I said before, he's a very positive person, but if he's gone through, bouts of maybe anxiety or at times where he sort of doubted himself, he's got that sort of foundation around him, which he said has massively helped. He talks about why he went vegan and the benefits, the positive benefits that he's noticed since, including memory recall, which is something I could definitely do with. I mean, I'm saying this, I've kind of gone vegan, but my memory is still shit. He talks about the importance of paying attention to your intuition, carrying on from that TED talk, and it's definitely worth checking that out. And how self-belief has helped him throughout his career, and why taking massive action beats waiting for perfection every time. And he cites setting up the urban seminar as an example. It started out as just as an idea he had, and he launched it within 3 weeks of coming up with this idea. They had 500 people turn up, and then fast forward to them eventually hosting it at the Royal Festival Hall with over 15,000 people attending. So Kwame talks about that, and there's loads here. As I said, Kwame's just he's got such a positive energy about him, and he's been through so much within the creative industry. He's got a lot of wisdom to depart. So without further ado, I say that at this point every time, don't I? Without further ado, should I mix it up? No, let's keep it. It's part of the branding, isn't it? Oh, sorry. One other thing that I forgot to mention. I've now got this widget thingy, which is called ratethispodcast.com. So if you want to rate and review the podcast, and in the past you thought, oh, just going onto that Apple and searching for the show, it's too much hassle. Now it's a lot easier. So if you just type in ratethispodcast.com/balance, you can rate and review the podcast directly there. So without further ado, over to Kwame. Perfect. Let's kick things off with Corona. What happened? You just collapsed, didn't you, at home?
What happened was that I didn't realise I already had it. So I had it for about maybe 7 days, 8 days. Okay, and I didn't realise. I thought, oh, this is like flu, but like the flu on steroids, because as time went on, my breathing was getting worse and worse and worse. And I didn't realise, do you know what I'm saying? And it took my daughter, because it's a creeper, right? And it's very sneaky, because reach a point and it's almost as though it's like, no, you're okay. So you start to feel a little bit better, and you're like, yeah. So that convinces you in a way that it's not the corona thing. But then what happens is it just goes up a level, you know? It's like it comes off the clip and then it just goes up again. And where you end up is in a higher place than you were where you were. So worse, basically. Suddenly you're like, and then it gets shorter and shorter. And what I didn't realize was, you see, is my daughter was the one who noticed it. And it's good that she's stubborn, because I was sitting there going, I don't need to go to the hospital. I don't need to go. You know, it's fine. I don't want to bother the services. I don't want to, like that. And I walk outside to go to the loo, right? And the next thing I remember, I'm looking up at the ceiling. Like, I collapsed in the hallway. And she had said, Dad, your breathing's not right. She said, you should be able to breathe. And I was like, I don't want to breathe too much, because if I breathe too much, and the thing that you don't realize is your brain's not getting enough oxygen, right? So you're talking gibberish. You're not really right. Making sense. So you're just like, you know, I don't want to, but, you know, and what I want to, and I'm just going to, and your sentences, it's all woo, like that. So we booked an Uber and went to the hospital, you know.
And how long were you there for? How many days were you in hospital for? Was it 8 days?
No, 10. I was in
10 days.
Yeah, I was in the hospital for 10 days. So we get to the hospital, A&E ward. A&E, they say, we're going to get you a... a bed. You know, they took one look. And because the thing, by the time I got to the hospital now, of course, here's me going, I don't need to go to the hospital. Dude, I could hardly walk. Like, I was in order for me to get from the cab into the hospital, which was maybe 30 steps, I needed my wife to lean on to go in. I'd like some kind of, you know, I don't even know what how to put it, but so I'm hobbling in like this. You're in A&E, which is one of my nightmares. And I was there for 12 hours. I didn't realize that I was there for 12 hours because I was floating in and out of some kind of weird consciousness. And they were doing tests on me and whatever, which of course I can't remember now. It was just like, you know, did the tests. And they, you know, by the time we'd left there, they said, you know, you've got corona, you've got COVID-19. I don't even think I heard it. You know, my wife told me when I got back home, she said, you know, they put me in my own room, locked off, whatever else. And they just said, yeah, you've got pneumonia as well. You know, to think that one minute you're up and you're walking, and the next minute you're essentially on some kind of machine.
So having come out of it the other side, you mean, you've always been someone that's, you know, you're a very passionate guy. You got a zest for life. Has it given you a new sort of approach to life, or has it changed your aspect in any shape or form?
You know, come on, Steve, you know me.
I was going to say, you're like that before anyway. So how did it change you at all?
Mate, I was like that before anyway. And then when people say, now, it's like, I say to people, it's like, if you thought I was a hippie before, I'm even more of one now. I'm sitting here with my tie-dye shirt on. Whole thing. Hey, Ashbury, right? That's me, baby. I'm like, listen, even more so. Right now, I look out, I see the clouds, I look at it for a lot longer. I see the sky, I even more appreciate. I've just seen a bird fly up there, pigeon. So you're in the now,
you're in the present.
I'm like, come on, you crazy? I'm very fortunate, I'm blessed, mate, but I've got two kids. You know, sure, they're grown up a bit now, but, you know, they're still my kids. You know, and then I've got my missus, been together for, 30 years? 31 this year. You know, so, yeah, I'm, come on. And I'm here, I'm on the planet. I'm here. You know, I get to see, you know.
Do you ever get negative? Like, do you ever have, like, negative thoughts? Because you're always so positive and upbeat.
I am, but you know, occasionally you'll get one, and I can worry from time to time.
Do you?
Yeah, I would sit there and worry. I'd be like, oh, you know, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And what about that? But I'm lucky in that I get some of the people around me. As I said, my missus is Miss Dagler, you know, so she's the saint. You know what I mean? She's going to heaven on a proper bus. Or she got her pass already. You know, so she's like really like, woo! You know? And then the kids are, when the kids are what I mean, Tali, you know, she's, as I say, she's feisty. Tali will let you know, man, if you say, you know, she's definitely grown into a fiery political, LGBTQ rights, you know, fine young woman.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the beauty of having kids, isn't it? Because they can end up informing you.
Oh, without,
not,
I learned.
Not
I
that
learned.
I'm a father or anything, but I can imagine. Well,
yeah, I learn a lot from her. And then I learn a lot from the son as well. I mean, I don't think that the influence, I don't think we would have had our reunion gig if I hadn't watched the way my son practices. When I watched him practice, I was like, you know what? Come on, Kwame. Dust off the keyboards. Come on.
Yeah.
Do the thing. You know, so that was him and, you know, and Tali as well. That just, I wanted to see them see their dad on stage.
Okay. All right. I'm going to get to that. I just want to ask you, there's one thing I wanted to ask you before we get onto all sort of career stuff and that kind of thing. Do you think, because I remember when you got, you were told that you had diabetes, right? Yeah. And you changed your lifestyle quite dramatically in terms of, I don't think you were working out really before then. You started running every day and then you started having those green smoothies. And then fast forward a few years, you then went vegan. Yeah. I know it's probably difficult to say in hindsight, but do you think those you know, incorporating those that into your lifestyle, do you think that maybe helped you in terms of battling corona? Is the first question. And secondly, what impact do you think it's had on your overall well-being and your approach to creativity?
I think that the answer to the first bit is yes. I think that I don't know for sure. Let's the first, you know, little, you know, inverted commas is the truth is I will never know. But so many people have said to me, do you think that the fact that, you know, you work out, you're doing your vegan thing, you blah, 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 meant that who knows, maybe your body could actually deal with it more? Well, all I can go is that when I look maybe back to pictures of me then, you know, slightly puffier around the face and the, just the midriff, just, you know, slightly tighter shirts and all that. I don't know. I just think that, yeah, I didn't realize at the time, because I did. I loved the steak. I loved, you know, whatever, pork, blood, this, whatever. I ate it all. You know what I mean? I was a naughty dread when it came to pork, you know, back in, I know lots of the Rastas, man. If you look at, I was on the back of the bus, man, hiding that bacon sarnie. But, you know, this is the situation. When I stopped, I mean, at first, my daughter there, classically pushing dad into this new space by confrontation, which is what she does. She'll stand toe to toe with me like that, you know, straight. And she'll be like, just try it. Go on, dad. Try it. Why not? Go on. Try. And I'm like, oh, I was livid. Remember, I screamed at her. I was like, leave me alone. All that business. And they were like, just try it. So I was like, all right. I tried the vegetarian first. You know, and I did that for 2 weeks. And then she said, go on, try it. If you've done pescatarian first. I did that. And she was like, no, you've done pescatarian. She said, try vegetarian. Because I didn't know what her end game was. She did, of course.
Right, yeah. Smart.
Yeah, very good. Because she knew if she went straight to the artist, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
So she was like, pesca, fine. She was like, okay. And then she let me had a little breather in between, so I had a bit of meat and blah, blah. But then she was like, okay, cool. Now try vegetarian. I tried the vegetarian. She was like, yeah, okay, cool. Then she was like, okay, now you're on the vegetarian, just slide into veganism. And I was like, what? She slide. I was like, oh, God, no, what are you talking about? She was like, no, just try it. So she was lucky. By the time I tried the vegetarian bit, actually,
You're already used to it, aren't you?
Yeah, within 2 weeks of being vegetarian, I was thinking, yo,
yeah,
you know what? Now my body feels different.
You felt so lighter.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Clearer. The thinking was clearer, a lot sharper, memory recall quicker. Also,
really?
Yeah. So I was remember thinking, this is a bit mad. And then, when I went to veganism, that's when the memory recall got better. Even though I've got terrible memory, that's a weird thing. I could feel, however bad it was better when, and then.
You could remember that, even though your memory was shit before, you could remember.
There you go. So yeah. So then I started the running. When I started the running now, the running, you know, is getting everything there. The sort of the mind, the blah, the blah.
Or the endorphin release.
Everything.
So
you feel great after that, you know, you start. And again, you know, on the health side, I got the daughter. On the food side, I got the daughter, but on the other side now, the son has started with all of the, you know, he does all of the exercise stuff. So he's like, come on, dad, come on, go, you know, and there's all of that. So I'm getting it from both sides. So there's a lot of support there for me to do what I do anyway. But so all of that has helped. But whether it helped Corona,
you don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
I do know that where I was, if I'd carried on all those years ago, if I'd carried on, I don't know what place I'd have been in. I don't, because my waist would have been a lot, you know, I've dropped, you know, a good.
You look younger now than you did then.
And then, well, that's the crazy.
And that's over 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's the crazy
aspect. That's crazy, isn't it? That's 12 years ago.
I know. And there's a lot of people say that to me. They're like, Kwalam, you're like, what are you, Benjamin Button? I know.
Yeah.
But this is it. You know, now I don't eat no steak. I don't eat no kidneys. I don't eat none of that. I just, that's for other people. And it's fine. But if that's what you like, that's what you like. But, you know, how do I feel? I feel all right.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. So I will never forget the moment where you and I met for the first time. I don't know if you remember, but I came into ATC, which was a music management company, and you were a partner there. Yeah. And I'd come in via Joey because there was a job going to look after this US R&B band, The Score. And I met you. And
Joey
Swarbrick, big up. And you were wearing a purple suit.
Like, yeah, baby.
Head to toe, and I was like, wow, this guy, look at this guy, man. Look at this guy. And you bear in mind, right, I'd worked like in property for like 3.5 years. I'd been doing radio presenting in between, but still, like, I hadn't properly immersed myself in the creative industries at all. And I was just like, wow, who is this guy? And we sat down, and you were just quizzing me on my music taste. And I was telling you, I was trying to give like as cool answers as I could, you know, like left field. And then you just said, stop me. You go, no, I want the cheese. Your guilty pleasures, that was it. And then I said, and I mean to go, I went to a Lionel Richie concert last week. You go, you got the job. That was it.
Listen, the cool shit, man, fucking everybody in the music business is on the call. It's been great. I was listening to Masego this morning. And, you know, people out there, they might not know who Masego is. Some people do, some people don't. Whatever. But I was like, this is it. Because you know what it's like? My gran always used to say, if you want to really get to know somebody, she said one of the easiest shots you can play is play them at a game of cards. And I was like, I said, why, Graham? Why? She used to say, you know why? She said, because you can see a person. You can see their character in a game of cards like that. And I'd be like,
interesting.
What? And you know, she's right. I was like, you know, when I'm playing cards again, you know, you see someone and they're like cheating like half the time. You're like, you see somebody else and they're like very, very upright about it. And then you see somebody else and they get angry when they start to lose. You're like, it's like, you know.
Yeah, good point.
She would say that, but I kind of think the same with guilty pleasures of music. Do you know what I mean? It's like guilty pleasures of music is, I think you can really, you know, you can see quite a lot about a person when they just go, yeah, actually, Spice Girls. Straight up. Because, listen, when they did the reunion gig, I was there.
Yeah. Well, now they're considered ironically cool. Like everything from 90s is cool now, isn't it? So
I went and I got fully entertained.
Yeah.
Well, I was up there screaming with me and my daughter. We were up in it.
Yeah. Well, they were massive for a reason. I think the thing that I've always like admired about you is you embody a creative person, but what you managed to do is, what was really interesting, you know, we spoke just before we started this, is that I saw your TED talk that you did for the first time, and your TED talk was all about following your intuition.
Yeah.
And that seems like that's something you've done throughout your career. But what you've done, which I think is great, is that you managed to shift from being, let's say, an artist, you know, indie influence, and you're a producer and supported the likes of Michael Jackson and Prince and producing records for Jay-Z. And then you became an artist manager. And then you've gone on to do so many things since then. Have you always, is it literally just been a case of using your intuition just to move from area to area? Or do you plan things? Have you always had like an end goal and a vision of like, right, I want to do this, then I want to do this, and then I want to do this?
I think that a lot of my intuitive stuff is about pulling a small voice, right? And it's a voice that sometimes it'll just bounce around, you know? And it's one that, you know what? It'll come and then it'll go. I really pay attention to those. So it'll be like a passing thought or a this or a, literally, I'll really pay attention to those. I might even write it down, you know, and be like, okay, right, why you think it right? So I write it down. And that almost helps me form whatever the path is. Do you know what I mean? But I think the now I'm a lot more, okay, I want to do this now and I'll do it for X amount of time and then I'll see where I am then. I'm a lot more like that about it.
Right.
I mean, it's difficult because if you've lived what you consider to be an intuitive life, your life forms the path, as in your intuitive life informs the path. So that's the thing. It's like, yeah, well, that naturally leads on from here to there. And naturally leads on from here to there. Occasionally, what will happen is I'll take a right turn and then go, oh, no, that's a cul-de-sac. I'm not going up there. And I'll come back and then I'll go back on the path. But yeah, so I just, it's pursuit of happiness and pursuit of things that you enjoy. But luckily, I've turned that into business.
You managed to monetize that. So it's never been financially driven for you. It's never been money driven. That's never been the goal for you.
I just think the truth is whenever I do think like that, it's rubbish.
Yeah.
So whenever I've tried to think, and I'm not saying I haven't, I have. I've done that. Well, you know, yeah, that's it's doing well, isn't it? Like whenever I do, I must follow that. Grab that because that is going to equal that. It just never works. It works. Never, 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 never with me. Whereas when I'm like, listen, here it is. There's this artist, okay? And I know none of you like it right now, but just give me a year. And then I start. And I go, there it is. And then people go, damn. And I go, yeah.
That's self-belief, isn't it? That's self-belief in you and self-belief in the artist that you're managing. Have you always had that self-belief from a young age?
I'm fortunate. My mother was always, I can still hear her now. She's like, she literally used to say, I would be like, oh, but I don't know if I could. And she'd go, Kwan, she'd say, you can do anything you put your mind. Anything. And she would literally, she'd look deep in my eyes and I'd just go. And when she said it, I'd just be like, I can do anything. I can do it. I can do it. I can, whoa. You know, so, which is good, but can be dangerous sometimes because sometimes you go into that, you know, sort of, you take this right turn thinking, yeah, I can do it. And it's like, oh, no, you can't. You come back and then you go on the path that you're supposed to be on.
But you clearly used that because you're massively a self-starter. Even thinking about, you know, the ultimate seminar, which you started, and how many, the ultimate seminar, do you want to briefly break down what that was? I mean, it was an event for young people to inform them about the music industry and craving industries, right?
Well, okay. So first, the ultimate seminar is myself, it's Andrea, and it's Nikki Charles. So there's three of us. So that's the main, engine and whatever for that. The what you're talking about, I guess, is the pre to the ultimate seminar, which is the urban music seminar. So the urban music seminar, yeah, that was me falling out of bed at 4 a.m. in the morning thinking, you know what? This is a bit mad. I'm going to clubs, and the clubs that I go to play both British and US black music, but yet I don't see it. I don't see it in the chart. I don't see it. I especially don't see it on radio. I just don't see it. I don't hear it in the boardrooms, like what's going on. So I was kind of like, well, and this is 1997. I was kind of like, do you know what? We're just going to start. I called Andrew up and just said, look, Andrew, we were chatting. I said, Andrew, look, I want to start this thing. And it's going to be a seminar. It's going to be talking about, it's going to be aimed at the business end of the music industry. And when she was kind of like, in a way, why do you want to? And I was like, because if we don't talk about what we do and how important this music is, and we just won't be able to foster the next gen of music business entrepreneurs. I said, it's got to be so that the person that sat, you know, in the audience looks on the stage and goes, that person looks like me and sounds like me, you know, and thinks even like me, but they're in that position because of some of the path decisions that they took. So, okay, let me find out about their path. And that was the thing. So the whole thing is, it's supposed to be so that, you know what, if you read a book on the music industry, you come to the seminar and you hear the glue in between the lines.
Yeah? Right.
The real life bits in between the lines. Do you know what I mean? And that's what you do. So we did started it. First one, you know, I said to her, she was like, when do you think? I said, the first one's got to be in 3 weeks. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, come, let's go. I said, otherwise it won't happen. Let's do it. So we did the first one and we advertised it a bit. Luckily, the influence of my band were just like, I know you've had a number. And they were great at this. They were like, yeah, no, we're back. So yeah, we took some adverts out and basically 500 people turned up to it. It was a club. This is the only way we could get it. The club is in the West End. And this, to this day, it's why our seminars are held in the day, right? Is because we worked out that the downtime in club, where there nothing's going on, is in the day. So we were like, okay, I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll have the seminar, we'll have it in the day from early, yeah? And then we'll sling we'll say to them, keep your bar money, we'll sling you maybe a couple of hundred quid, and they're like, yeah, fine, no worries. So they're like, we only need one bouncer, no worries, that's it. A bouncer can do the bar at the same time. They're like,
smart, yeah. Smart.
So we did it, and we did it at this club. That was the first one. 500 people, next one, 2,000 showed up. Next one, 4,000 people, and it just went.
And you got up to a point where it's 15,000 people, right?
Mental.
What venue was that at?
Royal Festival Hall.
Right, mad. It's just like, what I think is amazing is just like an example of so many things you seem to have done in your career where you just literally, you have an idea, but so many creative people have ideas and they just think about it or they procrastinate over it or what tends to come up in a lot of people with a lot of people I speak to on this podcast is this idea of perfection, trying to get something perfect. What was amazing, you gave yourself a deadline, 3 weeks, bam, you just put it out there. And then you took massive action and then it's amazing.
Yeah. Because the thing is, I remember we got to the venue and we were like, yeah, we're doing this, we're doing this. And then someone was like, hold on, where are they going to sit? And I was like, I don't know. We were like, hold on, there's a table over there. I hadn't even thought about that. So literally, we've got these two tables, got a third table, lucky it was three tables there, and then someone found like a cloth. There was like a white cloth and it was clean and someone found it. We put it over, so there was a white cloth on the table. Then we were like, microphones, we're in a club, can we get the microphones? Yeah, fine. And that was it. We sat literally. And Andrea called up her people, somebody else called up them. We knew Damage, the R&B band at the time, British, we got Get a Romance watching.
Yeah, big tune.
Yeah, and we were just like, okay, cool, great. Gave them the mics. I sat there and basically we just host the panel. That's it.
And then it got to a point where you then had the likes of Kanye West on, right?
Yeah, man.
Damon Dash.
Kanye West came and did the press launch for us. Like, it wasn't not even the event. He was just like, yeah. I'm coming up talking about the press launch and blah. And those pictures are still online. It's mad. You know, it's
like, what's also amazing is that you were before your time. You think about, like, this was 1997 and we're at a point now where sort of like the urban scene is dominating the charts, but it's taken this long to get to that point and you were doing this back then. I think that's also another thing which I think like you've had throughout your career is that you've been ahead of your time in certain instances.
Yeah.
What's it like when you're convinced that you've got an idea or a product or an artist that you know is there and should be there, but you're ahead of your time, basically. You know what I'm thinking of. Do you know who I'm thinking of while I'm saying this? I'm thinking of Master Shorty. So I'm just going to briefly explain. Master Shorty is a rapper that Kwame managed, and he was kind of, he came just before Tiny Temper, and he sort of was kind of left field alternative rapper, and it was DIY independent, and it was close to popping. It got on the Radio 1 playlist. And for various factors, it didn't quite happen. But he was a prime example of, I think, of an artist and of a project that you were working on that was before its time.
Yeah.
How does that feel when you put all this energy and time and effort into a project and then it doesn't quite get over the finishing line?
Because you know what it's like, if you're playing football, okay, you have to take it that there's practice time, yeah? And in the practice time, if you're aiming for the top right, occasionally what will happen is sometimes you're going to hit the bar and it's going to not go in. And you have to just accept that as being, but that doesn't mean to say you don't stop training. Doesn't mean to say you don't stop training. So what I'm saying is, you know what? You've got the wall in front of you, football terms, right? You aim in for there and you miss. But other times, you've got the wall in front of you, you do it, and it dips in. And that's the goal. So you sit there, you have to take it that with what you do, especially creatively, sometimes you're going to be ahead. You're going to be ahead. Right. And you just have to understand. And also you have to understand that when you're ahead and you miss, you dust yourself off and you come again. And that's the situation.
Love that.
We did all of that stuff. Did this good Master Shorty. And these are still, I was on the phone to him like 2 days ago. He's like, still we're chatting and blah. And he's still like, he himself was ahead. He was just like, whoa, you know. Very Dayglow character, but he had the whole pop rap thing, but he just wasn't quite in the net. Just wasn't. He was just outside. And that's not a goal. You haven't won the final. You have not picked up the Jules Rimet trophy or whichever, the World Cup trophy. You haven't picked up. If you want to pick up, you've got to go in. And that's the thing. It's one of the things that the Shorty thing taught me is, you know what? Sometimes being ahead of time is great, but being on time is the thing. So I just, all I did with the next one was just shape the bend just a bit better and it went in.
And the next one was Rumour.
Rumour, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Shaped it and it went in and that's the situation. It was just different. There was just different things in place.
What was so left field about Rumour is her producer, Steve Brown.
Steve Brown.
A guy at the time in his late 50s, maybe early 60s, who made all the music for Harry. Who are the comedians that he's made music for? There's love.
Harry Hill.
Harry Hill, yeah. And he was on.
Glenn Ponder.
He's Glenn Ponder. He's Glenn Ponder, yeah.
Glenn Ponder, yeah, totally, yeah. On Alan Partridge. Yeah, Steve, look, as they say, you don't get nowhere by being the smartest person in the room. And I'm fine to not be the smartest person because I will learn from the smartest person in the room. And Steve is a wizard. Simply put, he is a wizard, and those that have worked with him and lucky bit artists have been lucky enough to work with him. No, the guy, he hears what's in your head and he's almost like, he's like MSG. You know what I mean? He just adds woo to, musical MSG, that's him, but he just does it and he's a great producer, she had the most ridiculously amazing
singer. How phenomenal
amazing singer, great producer. My part in that was getting a deal, definitely getting it both a publishing and a record deal, which I've very rarely done this before, which is got them both signed on the same day. And she signed two deals, which basically it's near enough the equivalent of buying a house. Like, and that was it. So we did that. And then she started recording and everything and, a million albums sold and whatever else. So yeah, that was Rumour. But again, she was someone, she'd been looking for a deal before me, she'd been looking for a deal for 10 years. And that was the reason.
Well, this is the thing. She was, by the time this happened, she was what? She was in her 30s, wasn't she? Which in the music industry is considered a bit of an anomaly.
Yeah, yeah. But my thing was, and I had been asked this, a lot of people said to me, they were like, why, Kwame, should I take a risk on somebody that has been, you know, I remember them saying knocking around for 10 years. And I said, because I said, and this is what I said to them, I said, you've always seen it like this. I said, but in truth, I said, it's actually that. And they were like, what? And I said, look, you've just looked at it wrong. I said, the problem is, and this is the truth, she had come to them at a time where, you know what, she maybe had two songs right and another two songs that weren't quite right. And
right, yeah, she wasn't the finished product.
Yeah, two songs that were here and then another to whatever. Yeah. Maybe she hadn't quite met Steve Brown yet. Maybe she hadn't this. Maybe there was all sorts of things, you know, maybe that whatever. But she had come, the point that she had come to them at wasn't quite right. But I knew that I had come, and I had come, as I say, listen, sometimes starting, sometimes I can take an act from literally the start. If I go football analogy again, I go from defense all the way through, attack and score. Other times, actually, I'm just in that last, I'm Lineker. In the last, that bit of the box, if you give me the ball, I'll dead it off into the net. That's the situation. So, you know, with her, it was more a case of she was two-thirds up the pitch, but the last bit, that last bit of finding, that last little bit of treasure hunt, what had to be in a like focused straight line. And that was my job with her.
Right. I guess comparing it to the likes of comedy, it's the equivalent of finding your voice. You've got, you know, you can be on stage and you can be trying material, et cetera, and or same as a filmmaker, whatever creative, you know, it might be, whatever creative field it might be, you're practicing and practicing and practicing until you find your, to put it in corporate terms, USP, you know, like this is what makes you you. And that's the whole journey, isn't it, to get to that point. All these artists that you've worked with, and you've worked with different types of creatives, you work with singers, you work with actors, you work with all sorts. So what would you say are the sort of running traits of the creatives? If you've got sort of two, you've got the ones that go all the way and the ones that are thereabouts, but don't quite make it for whatever reasons. What is the difference between those two artists?
I think a major thing, right, is you've got to be reckless with fear. So when I say that, I don't mean it reckless with fear as in it be inside you and it be reckless. I mean, you've got to see fear and recognize it. You know, it's interesting. There's this book I'm reading at the moment, and it's talking about actually this whole the thing of like, listen, dude, right? Fear.
What's the book?
Elizabeth Gilbert, and it's called Big Magic.
Someone else told me about this the other day. Yeah, someone sent that to me. Okay, it's down.
Okay, Elizabeth Gilbert, Big Magic. And she talks about it. There's a bit in the book where she's saying, listen.
She's the author of Eat, Pray, Love.
There you go. So fear can be, goes, you're taking this journey, right? The journey is the creative journey, creative experience. Then fear, right, is, you know, you can understand that it'll have a seat in the car. Fine. Mm-hmm. Understand that it's there, okay? So understand that it has a seat in the car. But you say to fear, listen, you can have a seat in the car, but at no time can you touch the radio. At no time can anything that you say help dictate the path of where we're going. And under no circumstances can you drive the car.
That's great. Perfect. Hello, sorry to interrupt in the middle of this insightful conversation, which I'm enjoying, I'm sure, just as much as you are. But I need to give you guys a little reminder. If you like this conversation, this episode, if you like Balancing Acts in general, then please do subscribe to us, rate and review us, because it makes the world of difference. And the more reviews we get, the more rates we get, the more people can discover the podcast and we can make it go viral, whatever that means. Okay, back to the chat.
So it's like this whole thing, Fear will play recklessness with you. Like, it will just come in and whatever, but you have to almost be reckless with it. Like, you know, get the back of the car. Like, you've got to be like that about it, because it'll come and just wreck your stuff. You just do that, you know? It's terrible. So, you know, it will. And, you know, stay in the brain and blah, and then before you know it, you'll be thinking about other things, you know? And then before you know it, that bit of inspiration, that creeper will just not happen. What if? And before you know it, if has taken over, and if is sat in the car, driving the car with you in the passenger seat going, well, you know, but you can't get in.
So is that what you say?
That's one of the major things.
Okay.
One of the major things. I mean, I think you have to have good people around you. Very fortunate with the seminar. Obviously, I've got Nikki Charles, I've got Andrea Yaw. And it's tough. I'm not going to say it's not tough. You know, there'll be times where I'll be saying one thing, you know, they'll be saying another, and we sit there and we'll argue it out, you know, but you have to take it, and, you know, but the fact is, you have a squad, you have a team, and the team's been, you know, this is 1997, you know, it's 22 years.
Yeah, wow.
So you've got that, and then you, at the same time, you've got people around you. I think you can't be afraid of smart people as well. And also the other thing is you've got to know that you can't do it all by yourself. You're not an island. Do you know what I mean? You don't know everything. There are people that are going to have way more experience, way this, way that. Or you know what? It's that thing of you might be somewhere near the center of the tornado with some people, but there's other satellites, people that are like a better integral to your thing moving forward.
Yeah.
Little different vibes masters and vibes mistresses and vibes people that are like integral, and you've got to make sure that you recognize all of those and take them on the journey with you. Very, very important as well.
That's a great point. And another question I wanted to ask you, I've over the years struggled with, so one part of my brain will be creative and the other part might be, say, entrepreneurial driven. Mm-hmm. And I'm a lot better with it now, but like in the past, like, well, you can't be both. It's got to be one or the other, and the two clashing together. You are a prime example of someone who is a entrepreneurial driven creative. Have you always been at ease with having both those sides? Or did it come to a point where you just sort of like, oh, I've got to merge these together?
No, I just think it's the way your brain is wired, right? I remember getting, as you know, when we first were at ATC, we got given PCs, yeah? And I remember being on the PC and thinking, oh, yeah. But then I got a Mac. When I got a Mac, I was like, yo, I can get around this. Woo! Right? So that's what I'm saying. It's the way your brain is wired. My brain is not wired in one way. And there's a whole, let's face it, the education system as it is not wired in the way my brain goes.
Yeah.
No? It just isn't.
Mm, same.
Sit down, ingest, take loads of facts in, blah, blah, blah. That's not, my brain just doesn't do that. But somewhere along the line, I just carved out areas in which my brain can work. And what I'll say is, I remember having plenty of business discussions in the 90s and early 2000s with people that were like, come on, you know, the thing about you is, you've always got your fingers in loads of little pies. You know, you'd be a lot better if you just focus on one, right? And I'd go, sorry, mate, that's not how my brain works. Do you know what I mean? It just doesn't work like that. And then, yeah, I know, but you know what? You really would be a lot better if, and I'd have those conversations and walk away and think, no, I couldn't even think like that if I tried.
Yeah.
Okay. But then we fast forward 15, 20 years, and those same people are like, Kwame, I'm interested in employing you to do this job. Can you, consulting on this job? And I go, really, why? And they say, because you have your fingers in a lot of things. And this is the thing. It's like, so all you can, you be you, you do you well, you just get better at doing you. And sooner or later, it takes a minute for people to work it out. It's not a road that is not fraught with dangerous slippery slides and whatever. There are crocodiles, lizards, like anacondas. You got to watch out for it all. But if you can stay on your path, you know what? You might make it to the temple, you know? And that's the situation. So for me, I know, you know, yeah, it's taken a lot longer, but I now kind of know that I did good almost just through, you know what? It's actually in the small things. People will walk up to me and they'll be in the street and they'll be like, you man. And I'll be like, what? They go, you know what? I was on a not so good path. I came down to your thing, that thing that you guys do. And I'll go, what, the seminar? They go, yeah, yeah. They go, yeah, I'm doing this now. And I met some people like your blah, 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 whatever. And you go, nice one. And they go, no. They go, thank you, man, thank you. And then walk off, gone. And you get little things like that. Or sometimes it'll just be a comment at the bottom of the thing where somebody's like, listen, you know what? Blah, blah, blah. I was at such and such a this, that, whatever. And you're like, yeah. Or it'll be sometimes it'll be bitten like an ND of a label or can walk up to you and just be like, yeah, an act.
I know you're giving this.
You know what I mean? An act that you signed to someone else that you took to them, and the act has blown up, and they've come and they're like, you know, and I go, we just had a bad meeting the day that I met up with you. We just had a bad meeting. It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Your game face wasn't on. So that's just how it is, you know, and they go, yeah. They go, yeah, but you should have. And I go, dude, I put it in front of you. But you just didn't see it at the time. But that's all right. Everybody's been there. You can't get everything. You know, that's the vibe. Just don't beat yourself up. Dust down, move on.
So you've done all these, you do all these things, and they're things that we haven't covered, but I'm going to, in the introduction, which I record separately, I'll mention these things. But, you know, you're an A&R consultant, and you co-chair the MMF.
Which is wonderful.
Forum. You've all these things that you've juggled. And then on top of that, you know, you fostered kids. You've got two of your own kids. How do you manage your time? How have you always managed to manage your time?
I'm very vocal. Listen, I've got my missus is amazing. It's number one. She's Maura. She's just like salt of the earth, right? So you've got Maura. Then you've, again, the kids themselves are very, you know, they're very accommodating with, you know, dad's whiz exploits. Woo! You know, if I'm, you know, they're very much like, yeah, why not? Let's do that. Or really good. Well done, Dad. You know, so there's a lot of that. It's not kind of, you know, it's a lot of that. And it's been difficult because, you know what? Sometimes they'd be on a half term and Dad wouldn't be, he'd be, you know, doing in Germany, doing blah or in whatever. So it's definitely tough, but, you know, they did all right. They did good, you know? And,
do you have like an, do you have you had like a morning routine? Do you get up early in the mornings?
I'm up early.
You know, what time do you get up?
I mean, I'll be lucky if I'm sort of 7 a.m.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes 6, sometimes seven. When I'm 8 o'clock, for me, is like a lion.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it'll, you know, try and get either a run in or some yoga or something, you know.
Okay. Do you meditate? Because I know you went through, you did that for a bit, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, no, I've never, yoga I've always done, but I know the whole meditation thing is probably next on my list, you know? So I'll get into that, I know. Yeah.
Become even a bigger hippie. What books, we briefly talked about books. Are there any books particularly that stand out to you that have changed your life or had a massive impact on you over the years?
I think there was a book, I think it was called The Atlantic Years, or The Story of Atlantic Records. It was huge for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive for me. So Yeah, that. I think, what's his name? Paulo Coelho or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know you mean.
Yeah, I think his kind of books as well. In fact, I think I'm going to go back and read some of those.
I've only read one of them, the really big one.
Yeah, I just remember thinking at the end of it, I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it's yeah. Like, you know, it's one of those.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah.
I think that I love some of the books that are sort of out at the moment, just on, I guess, black thinking. Natives by Akala. It's amazing. Yeah,
that's the one.
Great book. And then Afua Hirsch, British. Another great book. Great book. And then I would say as well, Malcolm Gladwell. I like him a lot.
Mm.
You know, Blink by Malcolm Gladwell, definitely.
Is that the 10,000 hours one?
Yeah, Tipping Point.
Tipping Point. Oh, that's 10,000 hours, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And Rakim's book, Sweat the Technique. I love
it. Nice.
Amazing. I think it's really good. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch. Oh, okay. This thing's come along. All of you got to stay in. If you owned a restaurant before and you were doing well, I mean, I was talking to a guy who owns a kebab shop down the road. He's got one kebab shop here. He's got a restaurant in Cambridge and another kebab shop somewhere else. And he goes to me, Kwame, he said, I'm losing $2,500 a month. Easy. Just on this one property. I was like, really? He says, yeah. He goes, no matter what, with government subsidies, blah, he goes, you can't repay it. He said, you know, and he's like, look, you know, he goes, simply, if it just carries on for longer, my business is going down. And that's really, really important. So, you know, it's okay. A lot.
That's quite the reading list there. I will, I'm going to have to.
Oh, and also Herbie Hancock's autobiography.
Ooh, okay.
Killer.
Nice.
Amazing. There's another one more, Howling at the Moon,
Walter Yetnikoff. That is such a good book. Did you read, that book is just insane. Did you read David Geffen, The Operator?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was one I actually read. I didn't even have it on, you know, whatever.
Yeah, Walter Yetnikoff, that book is crazy. Talking about music industry in the heyday in the 1980s and 90s and just fucking high on coke, signing Jackson and Prince and God knows what. Yeah, it's awesome. All right, Kwai, I know you've got to go. So I'm going to ask you final question I ask all the guests on the podcast. What does the idea of balance mean to you or not?
What does balance mean? Just, you know what? Just that thing of, to me, balance comes a lot of the time with me when I'll be thinking this and somebody, either my missus or kids or whatever, not that, this, and that. Inside me might be raging. I'll be like, no, Bridget! And then I literally have to go, okay. And I listen, and what happens is I go from that to that. You know, because the fact they were right.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very difficult thing, you know. I think the older that you get, you've really got to watch this, you know, because the old ideal of like, oh, because you are somehow you've lived on the earth for longer that you know everything. It's like, man, everything. Computers, phones, just turned it all on its head. You know, there's a lot that you don't know. You know, so learn from every source. So that is all I will impart about balance. I hope that in some way I've answered that question.
Yeah, very much so. That's great, man. Where can people find out more about you and what you do?
If you seriously, my Insta generally.
Okay.
It's so up to date.
I'll add that in the show notes.
Yeah, Insta is really my thing. So yeah.
Cool. All right, Kwame. Look, great speaking to you as always, man.
The white A, Steve, man. Been good chatting.
Mate, it has been a while.
Yeah. We can't, that's another thing that Corona should have taught us. It's like, you can't do that, man. You have to check in.
Yeah.
I've always got on with you.
Yeah.
And this is another thing Corona's taught us, as terrible as it is, because it is terrible, is it's taught us Zoom. You know, we could have... the time.
You could have just been catching up over Zoom, yeah.
Catch up. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Cool, done.
Yeah. Great. All right, Kwame, look, really pleased to see you healthy.
Hi. And, you take nothing for granted. Listen, thanks. I'm here. That's the vibe.
And yeah, always inspiring speaking to you. I will speak to you soon, man. Perfect. And that was Kwame Kwatan. A great conversation. Hope you guys got something out of that. And I said this last time, but it's like things are properly getting back to normal now, aren't they? Not like properly, but kind of properly. How many times can I say properly in a sentence? I mean, I'm properly overusing the word properly, aren't I? And yeah, how are you looking back at this time? Do you feel like, yeah, I made the most out of this. I learned something new about myself, or I've taken up a new hobby, or are you thinking, wow, that was really shit? I don't think there's any wrong or right answer, really. It's just part of your human existence, isn't it? That's what it was for you. That was your experience. So just take ownership of that, yeah? Don't feel, oh shit. I mean, maybe do a little bit. Like if you've literally just sat down and you literally just watched TV the whole time, that's probably maybe a bit of a waste of time. But you know, whatever works for you, whatever works for you. And talking about whatever works for you, Dominic Cummings, eh? This isn't a political podcast, obviously, but it's quite frightening, isn't it, really, how sort of one rule applies to those in power and another for everybody else. They've got a refund. They've got to refund anybody that has been given a fine for flouting those travel laws that were put in place. But they're not going to, are they? Because they can do whatever they want. And the frightening thing is that Boris Johnson doesn't care because he knows he's got a massive majority. So he doesn't even really care about public opinion. That's the crazy thing about it. It's mad. It really is. Like, it's mental. It's bizarre what's going on. Anyway, I'm not going to go off on a rant. I kind of just did, didn't I? But I will leave it there and say to you all, thank you once again for listening. And I hope you enjoyed that episode. And as I always say, if you did, please do rate and review us. It goes a long way. So yes, hope you are keeping well and have a good one.
Balancing Acts is now made in association with The Comedy Crowd, who are a website and community that support independent comedy creators such as myself. I have a Comedy Crowd short, which is a 2-minute video, one of my characters on their website. They showcase the best new videos on Comedy Crowd TV, which is comedycrowdtv.com, and across media platforms. So do go and check them out.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.